The story of those two Gallagher brothers rising up from like humble roots to become the biggest global superstars had been told so many times before. So I wanted to do something a little bit different. And I grew up watching this very funny documentary called Heavy Metal Parking Lot, which is all filmed entirely in the parking lot of a Judas Priest concert in like Maryland in the 80s. And it is just amazing. And it's such an incredible time capsule. So when my agent was like, you need to come up with an idea for a book, I was like, well, what if we just look at the fans instead? Because honestly, I think the fans are so incredible. And the stories that I found and the stories that I heard are really phenomenal.
And that's the thing too. So like a band as big as Oasis can mean so much to many different thing to many different people, and to hear their stories and how the band can affect people's own personal lives, it's a really great idea. It's a brilliant read as well. I love, we're going right to the beginning of the book and Debbie's story in particular. Will you tell us about her?
Yeah, so Debbie Ellis, she has since married and has a new name, was in this band. She grew up in Manchester, had lived there for a long time. She w was practicing and she got a gig at a place in Scotland and went rushed back to go tell her the band that she shared her studio with was like, oh, we got a gig in Scotland. You guys are losers, you know, just teasing them. And then they looked sort of offended. And so she's like, well, I guess you guys can come too. And so they, of course, were Oasis. And they tagged along with her to this gig at King Tut's Wawa. And they crashed the gig and got signed by Alan McGee, who'd been there to see Debbie because they were friends. And you know, the rest is history, but a lot of it really has to do with Debbie just, you know, wanting to bring her friends along.
And what about for you, some of the other stories? What are some of the real standout stories for you in the Book of the Fans?
Well, one of my favorites is this woman who she had lived in the United States for a while, but her father was an Iraqi citizen and he had come to study in the United States with the end the Iraqi government had paid for his education and he had to go back to Iraq to pay it off. And he took his whole family back to Iraq right when Saddam Hussein came to power. And she grew up under a regime, but she had learned a little bit of English while she was in the States. And she had set up her little radio with the rabbit ears and was able, I think it was Syrian radio, what came through. And she heard Oasis and she just fell in love with the band. And she was, you know, they didn't have the internet. They didn't have, you know, access the way a lot of people do. And obviously, Oasis wasn't touring through the Middle East at that time. She just fell in love with the band. And now she's going to go see them for the first time ever when they're playing in New York.
Oh my God, that is amazing. And what about for you? Like you've seen them.
I have.
And where did you see them that really was standout?
I saw them at the Meriwether Post Pavilion outside of Washington, D.C. And I will admit, when I first was invited to the show, I've been a music journalist for a really long time, so I get invited to shows a lot. And I didn't know that much about them, but I just remember sitting and listening to them and just having the music just like be a delightful surprise, like every single song. And obviously I went on to like know all of the hits and to, you know, be a big fan. But I am so hesitant to call myself a fan now because once you meet like I'm a fan. I have their songs, I have their albums, I have a shirt. But when you meet people who spend like literally $1 million on memorabilia, or people who have gone to 200 shows, or people who name their children after Oasis songs, it's hard to be like, oh, I'm a huge fan because you're like, I'm not a huge fan. I'm a fan, but I am not spending $1 million of my money on memorabilia fan.
What do you think it is about the band, though? Because I mean, I know it's like obviously the backstory, and people, you know, are curious about the longevity of the relationship for this tour and will they be able to sustain it? You know, part of me believes that they do actually love each other and it's all been kind of something. I mean, what do I know? But what do you think it is about the band that is just like, because in Ireland, they're playing Croke Park the 16th and 17th of August, and people are losing their minds. And a lot of my really close friends are huge, huge fans, like diehard fans. So what do you think it is about them?
I do think you touched on it though. I think part of it is the backstory because when I was talking to fans in Japan, in, you know, South America, in North America, just all over the place, everyone seemed to really resonate with this story of these two brothers who grew up with very little, who grew up very working class and just kind of, you know, came up with this idea that they were going to be the biggest stars in the world. And then they actually made it happen. And I think that was incredibly inspiring for people who just, you know, also were growing up with humble roots, also people who, you know, were struggling. And to see that these two kids could make it happen gave them a lot of hope. And I think that just resonated. And I mean, they also write incredible songs that have, lasted for generations. Like you can walk into a bar pretty much anywhere in the entire world, and if you put on like Don't Look Back in Anger or Wonderwall, everyone's going to sing along. And that is an incredible skill that, that's the power of music. And the Oasis tapped into that.
They really, really did. So it's called again, And After All, A Fan History of Oasis by Melissa Locker. And it's on sale. There it is. Yay, it's on
I have
sale
it.
now on the 17th of July, but available for pre-order as well. And Melissa, before I let you go, your handle, your Instagram handle is at Woolly Knickers.
It is, I came up with that during like the AOL Instant Messenger era. I don't know where it came from, and it's just going to follow me for the rest of my life.
But people can find out more about you there as well because you've done so many interesting things. Like you're a podcaster, you do interviews, a music journalist, as you say, for years and years and years. Not years and years, you're really young. So it's amazing to have you on the show this morning. Melissa, thank you so much for your time on Weekend Breakfast Today FM this morning. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much. Have a great day.
Thank you.